Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Yeah, I want to give you a quick testimony here before we go into the message today. Last week, remember we did the gas cans for the Indian Lake, Lakeview, and the area, things like that. And a lot of you saw the pictures online and things of that nature. And all the gas, I thought 60 or something, 70 gas cans and all that we did, we took over to the municipal building over there. Well, when they got there with the gas cans, there was, I don't know, 30 or 40 or 50 that were sitting there empty. And they said, what can we do? They said, well, can you fill all those up for us? Sure. So we put all the ones that were full in there, took all the empty ones out. Jamie Compton and Jordan Dodds was there. I don't know if anybody else was there. Took them to the gas stations. They're filling all of them up. And then there was two or three people that were, hey, man, can you help me? Can I have a gas can? Sure, and here, we'll fill it up for you. And gave him gas, filled up somebody's car. I mean, just all kinds of crazy things that happened that day. So when Jamie went in to pay, because a lot of you gave cash, you didn't give gas cans or whatever, you gave cash, Jamie pulled out the money, and the bill came to $435. Let me tell you how much money he had in his pocket. $435. Wow. Man, that's our God, isn't it? Woo! That's unbelievable. I'm like, you can't make this stuff up. That's our God. He was shocked. He was like, you can't believe this. This is amazing. So Jordan Dodds, he probably ran around the block a couple times, knowing Jordan. He's like, yeah. So that's beautiful. Praise the Lord. So thank you for what you've done. We've been still looking to see what's next. We've been letting things calm down a little bit, see where they really need and what they really need before we do something else here. So just keep your eyes open on that. And people have been sending us stuff and things. So we're waiting. So we're not sure that we're done yet. So, but just please just be praying for them and thanking God that he's helping all those people over there. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Well, today we're going to talk about the triumphant entry. The triumphant entry, because this is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And if you're a new to the Christian faith, today is the start of Holy Week, is what they call it. And from the beginning, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, thousands of years ago, it has been prophesied that this week would come. And not only that it was prophesied, but prophesied in great detail. Great detail. Now, in the natural world, man, with us and what we can do, it's impossible for a human being to prophesy that something is going to happen 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years in the future. It's impossible. And not only is it just impossible that it's going to happen, but give great details about those prophecies. That's supernatural. Amen? Absolutely it is. So, and even as man and as smart as he thinks he is and as hermeneutical he thinks he is, there is no way he can do those things. Think about a storm. We were in Florida one time and a storm had come and they thought it was going to be some kind of a hurricane or whatever. So it's like batten down the hatches, do this, do that. Even with the technology, with the Doppler radars, with the weather satellites that's out there today, and even when they can see the storm, a lot of times they get it wrong. They don't know where it's going to be. Now, the people that buttoned up think, thank God they were wrong. But that's what they can see, and they're still wrong, let alone what they cannot see. Now, Elijah was a prophet who prophesied a drought was going to happen for 3 years, and it happened exactly as he said. And then, of course, we know that there was Joseph. He interpreted a dream, and in that dream, there was going to be 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine. And it happened exactly as it was stated. Now, what kind of weather Doppler radar did they have? What kind of satellites did they have? Oh, that's right. They didn't have anything like that. But who did they have? They had God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, that's who they had. Amen? That's exactly who they had. They had Jesus Christ. And of course, he is always right. He foretold everything. And he sent his son to take away the sins of the world as well. Praise God for that. It was all prophesied that Jesus, in detail, thousands of years ago, would happen what is happening, and in great detail. That's amazing. Our God is real. The Bible is real. Hallelujah. You can say what you want to about Christianity, and about religion. I hear it all the time. You can deconstruct your Christian faith all you want to. All that means is you're a backslider. It just sounds better, and it doesn't, and it isn't as potent. But that's all that. I've deconstructed my Christian faith. Oh, so in other words, you backslid. Oh, well, yeah, it just sounds better. It's not as mean toward yourself. That's exactly what that means, right? You have to be educated not to believe truth. Ain't that the truth? That's right. Not your truth, but the truth. The truth, the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The more you listen to all the garbage on social media, the more I think that we ought to just shut it down and go back to watching soap operas on television. The Young and the Restless. Jeez. Now, I know all you young people in here are going, well, I'm young. Am I restless? I don't know. Are you? Because if you listen to that stuff long enough, you'll believe that you're not even here. I'm just a figment of my imagination. There's so much ridiculousness out there on social media today. It's absolutely crazy. All right, hallelujah. Now, no one can take away your testimony. No one can take away my testimony. No matter how much unbelief is out there, they cannot take away what God has done for you. The miracle that He has done for you. The miracle that He's done for me. The miracle that I've seen through my own hands, going everywhere here across the world, touching people, bang, backs just bam, pop. Stuff is gone, it's removed. You can't take that away. Well, it's not true. Oh, really? Ask this guy. He's the one that had the lump. This guy's the one that was broken. His back was broken in the motorcycle. Ask him what his back feels like right now. You can't take that stuff away, folks. No matter what they say, no matter what they do. Hallelujah. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. 12 years old, I was in a camp. I was just standing there. You want filled with the Holy Spirit? Sure, I don't know what it was. Let's go. Bam, boom, filled. Woke up 2 hours later. Brojo sota ramakasita. And I got an F in English in school. But yet God gave me my heavenly language that fast. So can't deny this stuff. Praise God. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. So the world's words are empty to us. Remember, they hated Jesus. They didn't believe Him, and they're going to hate you, and they're not going to believe you either. But it's okay. Shake it off and move on. Amen. Don't give up. Hallelujah. It should mean nothing to you either. So, staying all that, that was off the cuff. I want to throw out a perspective of Palm Sunday that maybe you haven't heard before. So, I just want you to follow me on this. Because, I mean, we've heard about Palm Sunday. We've heard about the Holy Week for years and years and years. So David's part of the woodwork here. I mean, you've heard this story every single week. Oh, great, it's going to be Palm Sunday. But I want to bring a perspective out that maybe you haven't heard before because I do think a little bit different. Don't say anything about that. Hallelujah. So when we look into Jesus' ministry in the last 3.5 years that He was on this earth, we find that almost every time that He healed somebody, He told them not to tell. Don't tell a soul. We read in Mark, the 7th chapter, if you have your Bibles or your smartphones or your iPads, or you can look on the screen, in verse 32 through 36, it says, "They brought to Him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged Him to put His hands on him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers in his ears." Now, this is Jesus. "And He spat and touched his tongue." It's pretty gross. "Then looking up to heaven, He sighed. And He said to him," yeah, whatever. That means be opened, all right? "Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then He commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more He commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it." Now look in Mark, the 1st chapter. There was a leper, and he asked him, "Lord, if you're willing, would you please heal me?" And in Mark 1:41, it says, "Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. And he said to him, I am willing, be clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. And he did what? Strictly warned him." It's up there, right? "Strictly warned him." Wherever it is. Mark 1:41. "And sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to no one." That's what that scripture verse says. But the dude wouldn't keep it on the DL. Down low, sorry. DL. He wouldn't do it. He told everybody what was going on. Everybody he saw, I'm clean, the master cleaned me. So much that Jesus could not even stay in that town anymore. He couldn't come into the town. And so when he stayed on the outskirts of town, all the people came out from every direction seeing him as well. Jeez, that's got to be frustrating. I know exactly what he means overseas. Here, nobody cares, obviously. But overseas, you know, when something happens, when you're preaching and or when you touch somebody, when there's a healing miracle, they flood you like you're something. Like, it ain't me, it's God. Not me. We're just a vessel. But we understand what that is. I mean, matter of fact, Jared Kaiser, are you here, Jared? Where are you at? Are you here? I don't know, I saw your son playing. Okay, anyhow, I know they had an event today or something. I took Jared to Africa with me one time, and I saw that the schools, you know, I've been to over 270 schools over there, and I know which schools are proper and very calm, and I know which schools are crazy. And so we go into the school, and I said, oh, this is a crazy school, crazy. And so we did our thing. We did our cute little tricks, and we had salvations, and we had a great time. And I said, Jared, I said, would you please pray over everybody before we leave and go to the next school? He said, sure. Now, when he did that, I slowly backed up against a tree. And after we were done praying, and he said, amen, all right, boom, they attacked him. And they like, boom, he was like falling all over the place. Ah! You know, it was just like those pigeons on that one scene, you know, Home Alone. Ah! You know, it was just crazy. That happened to me when I was in Uganda. I said, amen. And they came and they piled on top of me. I am holding kids above me while kids are getting smashed, screaming bloody murder because they think they're going to die. And teachers are laughing. So I know exactly what Jesus is talking about there. So I put poor Jared in that situation. It was pretty funny, actually. I like it. So anyhow, he healed a dead girl also. He told them to say not a word. Don't say anything. And a few of his disciples saw him, of course, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And after he got done, he said, don't tell a soul until after my resurrection. He even told demons to shut up and say nothing. Remember? Go into them pigs, see you later. That happened as well. So why did he? Now, he did, though. He did in, I think it's Mark the 15th chapter, or Mark 5, 18. He healed a guy who was also had a demon. Said, now go back to your hometown. Tell everyone what God has done for you. But most of the time, he told everybody, stop. Don't say a word. Don't let anybody know. Why did he say this most of the time? Could it be that he was just humble? Because he was. Jesus was very humble. He was a servant. Was it because that he was berated everywhere he went? That probably was one of the problems as well. Who touched me? Who touched me? Yeah, we remember that story. Maybe it was because he wanted people to hear his message and not just come for a miracle or a healing. Because wasn't his message more important than the healings and miracles? Oh, absolutely it was. Maybe he wanted people to listen to what he had to say and not just come for a free meal. Remember after that, when he fed all those people? They tried to make him king, and somehow he slipped out from them. And of course, then he also messed up a bunch of people when they said, yeah, you can eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, man, this is so hard. We out of here. This guy's nuts. And a lot of them left. Maybe it was perception because they had a lot of ideas of what the Messiah was going to be when he showed up. And maybe yet it was just timing because he said that a lot. It's not my time. It's not my time. Maybe it was timing. So with that being said, here's how Holy Week started. You turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter, and verse 1. It says, and now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Now, if you'll also look in Mark 11 and then also in Luke, they both add another town. So now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany. So at the Mount of Olives. So they both mentioned those cities. So Jesus was in the middle or in between Bethphage and Bethany. He was really in a good place and a bad place because Bethphage means house of sweet figs and Bethany means house of sorrow. So right there at the beginning of Holy Week, he is in a good place, but then also he is in a very bad place. He's at a straight. And do you know, if you've been alive for a little while and you're not hiding under a rock, we're right there. We're right there where Jesus was. We are in a good place in our lives and in the world, and we are in a bad place in our lives and in the world. And I say that because as you are living here in the same place, Jesus said himself that these signs are about to come before my return. Now that's the good place, hallelujah, that we're living in. Amen? That's the good place. But here's what it says in Luke 21, 25 through 28. And there will be signs in the sun. Ooh, what do we got coming up here? Oh, we got another eclipse coming up, don't we? Yeah. And in the moon and in the stars. And on earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing from the fear and the expectations of those things which are coming to the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great joy. Now when you see these things begin to happen, look and lift up your heads because your redemption draweth near. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah, that's exciting! That's amen! Good. Now listen, speaking of the waves, this is going to come up here in a minute. For 10 years, we have been going to Aruba for vacation, and Andrew and Jamie, they were with us this year, and something that had happened, it's never happened before in 10 years, there was no wind. Usually it's a 20 to 30 mile an hour wind every single day in Aruba, which is nice, keeps the mosquitoes away, it's very hot, so it's cool. But this year, there was no wind for 5 days. It was unheard of. So we went to places and got to snorkel in places that we would have drowned if the wind would have been the way it was, because the waves are so bad. Beautiful. We saw things we'd never seen before under the ocean. It was amazing. Saw an octopus. It was just beautiful. All kinds of neat stuff. So on the one side of the island, everybody snorkels because it's the safest place of the island. It's absolutely beautiful. All the buildings and high-rises are all built there. There's a place called Three Steps, very popular. Even my wife, who hates snorkeling, loves snorkeling there. It's very safe, very calm, very mild. So we decided to go over there because we figured thousands of people are going to be over here just snorkeling away because there's no wind. As we were going on the shoreline, we saw like it looked like fog. We're like, what is happening? And when we went over to where the Three Steps were, this is what we saw right here. This is supposed to be calm and amazing. But this is what was happening. And again, all the sky, all the high rises and everything, they're all built on this side of the island. Usually you can see 3, 4, 5 different shades of blue, all the turtles and everything is out there. But instead, this is what we saw. People were coming out with their iPhones and cell phones, and I'm looking over, and most of the people were the people that lived there. And I look over at one of the guys, and I'm like, you live here, sir? All my life. I said, why are y'all out here? He said, we've never seen this before. This is unbelievable. This is crazy. I said, really? He said, really. Wow. So we saw something that we'd never seen before. And so when I read that scripture, I thought of that. Wow, the seas and the waves roaring. I mean, it hurt a lot of buildings. It hurt a lot of houses. It tore up all kinds of stuff that week we were there. Never heard of before. This stuff is happening. It's happening. We have another solar eclipse, like I said. Boy, you can go online and see lots of stuff about that. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But God is talking to us in the stars, in the sun, and in the moon. We just got to know what he's saying because he's talking. He's talking. We see what's happening with the border crisis. Dear God, the distress of nations with wars between Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Hamas, Palestine, and now even Hezbollah. We see what's happening over here. The Houthis fighting our Navy at the Red Sea. Armed gangs rushing the capital of Haiti last week with 1,000 or so Americans being trapped over there. So all this stuff is happening and they're on the brink of civil war. So it's happening, guys. The end is here. It really is. We've heard it all our life, but I believe more than anything, it's here. Good people are being punished. Isn't that the weirdest thing? People are breaking into your homes when you're on vacation and you come back and they're throwing you in jail? What? Are you kidding me? That's insane. I don't know what I would do. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh my gosh. Corruption like we've never seen before here in America. It's unbelievable. And at the top of the list, people being deceived. He said before wars and rumors of wars, if you read the scripture verse, the first thing was deception. And man, he is deceiving a lot of people. People that you and I know that we thought, man, had their head on straight. Just boom, out there. It's insane what's happening. The very elect will be deceived, the Bible said. My goodness, hallelujah. See, that's Bethany, the house of sorrows. We're in that vein right now. But also, we all know who God is, and we all know that he's with us. And we all know that he'll never forsake us. His presence is all around the righteous. All around the righteous. Listen, Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, but there was good people there, and God got good people out before he destroyed it. We're good people. We love Jesus. He's not going to do anything because we're here. Hallelujah. We got to be removed first. Come on. Hallelujah. We're not focused on the storms of life. We should not be focused on the storms of life. We're focused on him. We praise and worship him in the midst of all of this stuff that's happening around here. Hallelujah. Because our redemption draws near. And that's Bethphage. That's the house of sweet figs. We are in that vein as well. And Jesus is in both of those veins. He's in both of those. And Palm Sunday was where this started with him. And in Matthew 21:2, we'll read on. It says, Jesus saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled. Here we go again, was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And that scripture verse is found in Zechariah 9:9. Most of you should know that. Thousands of years before. Woo, God is so good. And he gave detail. You're going to find a donkey and a colt. You're going to find a mother and a little baby. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Great detail. By the way, I heard somebody online say, see, you Christians don't even know what you're talking about. A colt is a horse. These people don't know what they're talking about. A colt is also a donkey, a male donkey. And a filly is a female donkey, baby donkey. People, you just can't listen to this stuff out there, guys. You go crazy. So another interesting statement to me is, why did Jesus tell the disciples that if anyone asks why you are borrowing someone's donkey, tell them the Lord has need of them. I'm going to try that with Frank Cardone's car that he loves so much. Coming to his garage. Why are you in my car, Pastor Andy? The Lord has need of this, Frank. Just for an afternoon. We'll see how Christian he is. Hallelujah. I'm going to get some Facebooking on this from him earlier, later on today. Praise the Lord. But that's what happened. It really happened. And it happened just like it. A guy came out and said, yo, what are you doing, man, with my donkeys? The Lord has need of it. Okay, take it. It happened in detail. Just what he said would happen. Now, as far as I can tell, Jesus never referred to himself as Lord before the resurrection. I've looked up and down the scripture verses. Now, other people said, you are the Christ. You are the Lord. And he said, don't tell. Don't tell anybody this. But I never heard him say that about himself anytime in the Bible. Now, so I think about that statement again because I think different. I think, well, did his father need that? Not Jesus, but did his father need that donkey and not him? Because Jesus, being as humble as he was, maybe he just wanted to sneak in Jerusalem. He didn't want to make a big scene or anything like that, but he wanted just to sneak in. But then here we go again. He says, it's not my time. I believe this was his time. And I believe his father wanted him to do it this way. And then here's why I say it's God. In John 5:19, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. John 5:30, I can of myself do what? What does that word say? I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So it must have been God's will, the Lord's will, that he go get those donkeys. John 8:29 says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I," what? "Always do those things that please him." So Jesus, throughout Scripture, he was very humble. Maybe his idea would just to sneak in, but God said, "You know what? I want you to do it differently. It's your time, Jesus. This is it." Matthew 21:7 says, "They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, set him on them," and then, of course, we see what happened.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king, riding on a young donkey." His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. That was why the crowd met him, because they heard he had performed this miracle. The Pharisees then said to one another,
"You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason that Jesus was riding on a donkey was because in Jewish custom, leaders rode into places on donkeys whenever they were coming in peace. Pretty cool. They rode on horses when they were coming in for war or for battle. And we all know that Jesus came in peace, didn't he? That's right. Now, this is something that I did not know until a couple days ago. And I did get up and go, "What? You got to be kidding me." Did you know that the donkey is the only animal in the entire world that has a cross on his back? Look at this. Unbelievable. Even in the movie there, if you'd have looked real close, you could have seen that it was a cross. The only animal in the entire world that has a cross on his back. Man, God is so amazing to me. Just so amazing to me. The Messiah came into Jerusalem on a cross, and he left Jerusalem carrying a cross. Wow. Something you just sit back and you think, my goodness, wow, this is amazing to me. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the sins of the world from us. Now, we just watched Matthew 21:9, where it says, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, I'm sure what really happened was probably a lot more exciting than a movie. I'm sure there's a lot more people, because they knew what he did, and they knew who he was. Maybe God wanted to show off his son after all he had done for the people in the last 3 years. After all, there were times that God spoke from heaven openly and said, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." We heard it over and over again. Maybe he wanted Jesus to hear the people shouting his name and thanking him, because it was his time. Maybe God was showing the people the gift that he has given them, showing them who was going to rescue them and deliver them from their sins and their shame. Maybe this was God's idea and not Jesus' idea. After all, if you remember, Jesus didn't come in the world this way. He came in quiet, snuck in. Nobody was there to sing to him. Nobody was there to praise him, except for who? The Bible said the angels did. The angels in Luke 2:13, it was the angels who sang, "Glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill to men." The people finally got to see Jesus for the gift that he really was to the world. Woo, it's powerful. And you missed the time to shout again. I'm going to get me a Hammond organ up here. Teach somebody how to play that thing. Maybe God knew that the shouts of praise to him would help him when just 1 week later it would turn into shouts of rage. Just 1 week and hate. Instead of shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they would shout, "Crucify! Crucify him! Crucify!" Can you imagine that? 1 week before they're praising your name, and the next week they're shouting, "Crucify! Crucify!" And he wasn't even married. I'm telling you, it's insane. Hallelujah. It was supposed to be funny. Sorry. Well, you saw, seen that look right there. See? She said, "Crucify!" Hallelujah. It's crazy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Free Barabbas and crucify Jesus. That's unreal. So how did praise turn into protest? How did praise turn into protest? And the band, you can come up here. It happened because they truly didn't understand what was going on. They had no idea. Remember, the Jews were looking for a man. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king who would liberate them from Rome. All the Roman oppression. That's who the children of Israel wanted. And they thought Jesus was going to do that when he was riding in. Woo-hoo! He's coming to take over! Yeah! We're going to get him now! Didn't they understand he was riding in on a donkey? He was coming in peace? He wasn't coming in to take over anything. They knew this. This was their custom. They wanted him to reign as king, not the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. They just didn't understand he wanted to liberate them from true bondage and that their sin and your sin and my sin would be taken away through him. Now, I know that there are things that are happening in our world today that we just do not understand. We don't have the answers for them. I understand you get frustrated. I get frustrated. When I look at things that are happening on television, when I look at innocent people being done wrong with, it's very frustrating to me. And I want to fix it. And I want to do something about it. And I know you feel the same way. But again, we're living in a time where who is in control of everything? God is in control of everything. And we have to continue to put our trust in him, no matter what we see, no matter what we face, no matter what's happening, even right next door. We've got to continue to trust him. Because he has our back, doesn't he? Exactly. Hallelujah. I do not have the answer for a lot of the questions that are happening today, but I do know what you cannot do. You cannot allow your praise to turn into protest. No matter what. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot allow your worship to turn into doubting. And you cannot allow your salvation to turn into destruction or backslide. What are you going back to? David, you want to go back to who you were? No, I don't want to go back to who I was, and I was pretty good as a kid. I never drank, smoked, dipped, or chewed. I never ran around with people that did. I might have lied a little bit, stole a little bit. Yeah, that's sin, but I didn't do anything like this character did. And I still don't want to go back to who I was. There's nothing to go back to. Except hell, fire, and brimstone. I guess if that's where you want. We are living in between the house of sweet figs and the house of sorrow. And we know that Jesus understands what sorrow is. Doesn't he? He does. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. All I know is he said that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us, no matter what. Now, as I was sitting at my desk, trying to tell my dog to leave me alone. was studying, I heard the Lord say, those that are dealing with depression and oppression, they need to step out in the aisle. And I thought to myself, good, bring them down here. I'm going to lay hands on them. That depression, that foul spirit is going to go in Jesus' name. And I saw it in my head. But then that's not what he told me to do. He said that when they step out in the aisle, you're going to play this song. And they, by faith, are going to dance and shout and sing, and it's going to fall off of them. And I said, what? Yeah, and then all of a sudden I thought, well, duh, what about the guy at the pool? You know, go and wash yourself 7 times. Why? Why? If he'd have said why and he'd have not done it, he'd have never got the miracle. I'm not, okay, God, this is what you want. Great, then this is what we're going to do. So if you are dealing with depression or oppression in your mind, then you're supposed to step out into this aisle. I don't know why you're supposed to step out in the aisle. I suppose that's called faith. Stepping out in faith. And then you're supposed to shout and praise, and we're going to shout and praise as well. And God said it's going to just drop off of you. That's what he said. Amen. So our prayer warriors, come on up here, prayer workers. Come on up here as well. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. So come on, everybody. Let's sing this like we mean it. And let's watch God do something today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Our praise when outnumbered,
come on.
And praise
you,
when surrounded.
Hallelujah.
Whose praise
thank
is the water.
Thank you, Jesus.
My enemies drowned in.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
As long as I'm breathing.
Come on, everybody.
To praise the Lord, oh my soul. Because you're sovereign, praise because you reign, praise because you rose and defeated the grave. I praise because you're faithful, praise because you're true, praise because there's nobody greater than you. I praise because you're sovereign, praise because you reign, praise because you rose and defeated the grave. I praise because you're faithful, praise because you're true, praise because there's nobody greater.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Come on now.
Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Come on now.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to be praising God forever and ever and ever and ever in heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. We're going to be worshiping Him for eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you and I praise you today, Lord God, that that spirit, Father, is gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, it's dissipated. It is melted off. That spirit of depression, that spirit of oppression, hallelujah, has to go, Father, in the praise, Father, to you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that it will not return. It will not come back in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you for it this morning. And I give you praise for it this morning. Hallelujah. Give God another round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, if you're here today and you don't have this freedom, listen, the altar is open. You can come up and we're going to pray with you. And you can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's that simple. It's that fast. I don't take a lot of time because, you know, the Lord's spoken to you probably even before you got here today. When I'm over in Africa and overseas, I always tell them, listen, I don't care if you get saved or not. And I don't mean it bad, but I know where I'm going. And I'm here to do a job. And if you don't want it, it doesn't matter. That's our God. He loves us so much. If you don't want to receive Jesus, it's fine. So if it's you, come on down. Come on. He hung on a cross naked for you.
That's right.
He didn't have no loincloth on. He was completely exposed and humiliated to the nth degree for you. The least you can do is come down and give your life to Him, because you've listened, you've lived for the devil openly. We all have, but we're family and we love you. I want you to be a part of the family, only if you want to be. Anybody here at all? Anybody? One, two. Okay, all right. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Praise the Lord. You know, my last statement is this. At the end of the day, our role is the same as the donkey's role. And that's to carry Jesus and reveal His identity to everyone we know. Everyone we come across. The Lord uses you and me. Let Him use you this week. Say, God, just one person. Just give me one person that I can talk to. One person that I can share my testimony with. Just one, Lord. And He'll open up that door for you today. Amen. Let's carry Jesus. Let's carry Him this week. Father, I thank you for this crowd, your people, the church. I thank you for everything that you do for them. I thank you for opening up doors that nobody can open and closing doors that nobody can close. Oh God, we just praise you and worship you, Father, for who you are and what you do for us. Every day, we thank you for the breath that we get to breathe, Lord God, and the clothes that we get to put on our backs, Lord Jesus, and the favor that you give us everywhere we put our foot in the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Even though we are in the midst of sorrows, and even though we are in the midst of sweetness, God, I thank you that you are there with us in both areas, Lord God, carrying us as well. You will not leave us. You will not forsake us. You're closer than a brother. I thank you for being with us this week, this Passover week, Lord God, this holy week. We thank you that you will be glorified somehow, some way this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, we'll see you guys Friday at our Good Friday walkthrough between 4 and 8. Come anytime between 4 and 8. It's going to be amazing. Bring a friend. Bring somebody who don't know Jesus. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you then.